just, if unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. And he just leaves all of the people standing there confused and horrified, probably. Is he talking about cannibalism here? And he just goes on to teach because he knows that those who will come into understanding will understand what he means. And those who have faith, like the 12, will stay with him even though they don't understand. They'll trust. He has the words of life. So we're going to trust that this is going to make sense at some point, but it's truth, and we're going to follow him because he is the bread of life. We're going to just pray over our offering at this time. So with a posture of worship, I just want to pray over, if you've come this morning prepared to give to Adventure Church, to the mission that we're on to reach the city and the world for Christ, thank you. And we want to pray that that gets used for exactly what God wants to use it for in that mission. Maybe you give online or in a different way, but let's just pray over all those gifts. Lord, thank you so much that we live in a generation where we have that understanding of what you meant by the body and the blood, that you sacrificed on the cross. You sacrificed your body to death and your blood to pay for our sins. And so we just thank you that you've given us understanding of that. I just pray that you would continue to help us understand in deeper and deeper ways. And Lord, we come to you with our offerings, a portion of what you've blessed us with, and we decide to put that together as the body of Christ, to have this place to come and worship you in, but much more than that, to be able to see people finding you around the world through our missionaries, Lord, to be able to help the poor and those who are in need in this body and in this community. Lord, I just thank you for the many ways that you're using these gifts, and I pray that you would lead us. We submit to you. Lead us to use these gifts to glorify you. Most importantly, we say our heart posture is not one of obligation, but one of praise and worship as we give back to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good morning. So I just want to welcome you if you're visiting here, newer to Adventure Church, and we've designed our bulletin with a connection card. That's one way that we're not going to send you spam or anything like that. Just I'd personally like to be able to reach out to you and say hi and maybe answer any questions that you have. So you can fill that connection card out, and there's a basket on the back table when you leave. You could drop it in there, and we'll reach out to you this next week. Also, in your bulletin, men, do not miss out on the opportunity to go to the men's retreat next weekend. This could be your first Sunday. One of our elders, Milt, he's here this morning, he signed up. The first Sunday that they visited Adventure Church, he signed up for the men's retreat. That was many, many years ago. I was blown away by that. I guess he felt like he really wanted to get to know the men of this community. So that's the type of fellowship that we have as men, though. It's open. You're welcome. We'd love to have you come hang out. We're going to spend time with God, listen to him. We're going to listen to each other. We're going to listen to God for each other. We're going to have a blast, and someone will probably get hurt. But you can decide if you want to enter into those kinds of activities or not. There's lots of stuff to do. Beautiful retreat location. There's a sign up in the back. Russ is holding up. We need to get the numbers to the retreat center today, so either get your name on there, or if you know how to use a smartphone, go to our app. You download it at Church Center is our app, and then you can RSVP on there, and then we'll know the numbers that we can give to the retreat center. So also, Fall Harvest and Member Huddle is happening after this service. So we're going to be eating elk and venison, and there's some great soup there if you're not into the wild game thing, and some desserts and stuff. So if you have taken the step of membership at Adventure Church, this is a membership meeting, and we're gonna have fun together. We're gonna talk as a family about the church. So speaking of membership, there are several people who have taken that step recently, and we just want to pray over them and acknowledge them this morning. So Julie DeBoer, Nick and Kayla Barrett and Michael Madera. If you guys could come up here. Awesome. Just want you guys to come up front here and people can, this is Mike, Julie, Nick, and Kayla. So you guys can kind of get to know them a little bit more. Most of you probably know them by now, especially Mike, who's been around forever and does a lot of stuff on Sunday mornings for us. But he's taken that step of membership as an adult. So we're excited for all of you and just want to pray for you, for your life here at Adventure. So God, these are members of your body. Members of your body, not just Adventure Church, but the church, the body of Christ. And they've chosen to play out that role here in this fellowship. And so, God, I just pray for an anointing of power by the Holy Spirit so that they would step into their giftings and they would even receive gifts from you to play the critical role that you have called them here for this time, Lord. I believe that you have led them to take part in fellowship at Adventure at this season of their life. And so I pray you'd make it clear to them the role that they play and what they bring, but also, Lord, we commit to you as a church body to invest in them, to build them up, to use our giftings to encourage them, and to see them step into that abundant life that you have for them, Lord. So come and do that work amongst us as a fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jeff.
And just in time, you guys get to partake in the elk and stuff. So, yeah, it wasn't for the elk that they became members. Well, we are in a series on the Holy Spirit, and it's really our desire to not, especially with this topic, to not just study the Holy Spirit. I mean, that would be ridiculous. To just fill our heads with a bunch of knowledge about the Holy Spirit. It's our desire to learn from Scripture what a life with God in the Holy Spirit is supposed to look like and then live that out and seek God passionately for that life. So we've talked quite a bit about some of the aspects of the Holy Spirit as we come to faith in Him at first. We're going to move into some topics today that are going to get really interesting and in the weeks to come. And so it's going to be a great conversation for us to just look at what Scripture is revealing to us and make some decisions in our own hearts about where we're at with what we see Scripture revealing and are we open to stepping into that. So to kind of illustrate the power of the Holy Spirit in a way, this morning a story came to me from a few weeks back when I was working in the garden with my wife. And we have not had many of those days. This was a couple Saturdays ago. Yesterday, we worked in the yard too. It's kind of catching on here because we're seeing the difference. But we live out in the woods, so the woods is always trying to grow in on us, and you're always pushing it back. But if you spend a day working in the garden, some of you have experienced this. You develop these piles of weeds and prunings and branches and junk that you pulled out of your gardens. And they're in these piles, you know. So at the end of the day, you're exhausted, but you got to deal with those piles of stuff. And sometimes we just leave them there to rot. But what's good is to get them all gathered up and take them to the burn pile. So we were at that point last Saturday, and I was tired, but I was like, oh, I better go get a wheelbarrow. And we have several wheelbarrows, but one of them we bought really cheap. It was like a $10 wheelbarrow or something, $15 or something. And it's the little teeny one, and it just... So I go and get that, and I'm bringing it back empty, and I'm realizing the axle's so rusty, you have to push this empty wheelbarrow to get it to go. And so I load it up with all, I'm like, this is ridiculous, it's not what I need. I'm going to load this up with a bunch of weight, I'm exhausted, and I'm having to push it empty, and it's wearing me out. So I get it all loaded up, and our burn pile is kind of down this hill, down below. I'm going down the hill pushing this wheelbarrow full of all this weight, like this is wrong. I should not have to push a wheelbarrow down the hill, and I'm getting exhausted. And then I had to come back up with it empty, and I'm pushing it up the hill empty. It sucked. But it reminded me of a time, not many weeks before, that I got to use my friend's electric-powered wheelbarrow. Have you guys ever seen or used one of those? My friend, Jeff Colt, lives on, some of you know his house, and there's that big steep hill that goes down to the lake, and he had some firewood for me, and the firewood was down by the lake. And you have to go up a steep hill, like it's almost hard to walk up this hill with nothing. And I wanted, had to get all this firewood up, but it's got two wheels, super sweet, big wheelbarrow. It by itself weighs as much as my little wheelbarrow loaded up. And it's got this little thumb thing right, you know, right where you'd want it, and a battery on it. And it just, and you're just like, almost takes you up the hill. It's awesome. But that's kind of the difference of us living life, walking with God, but living out our faith without the Holy Spirit and with the Holy Spirit. We were meant to live a Spirit-empowered life. And so oftentimes when I'm not walking with the Spirit in my life, I feel like that stinking wheelbarrow with the rusty axle. This should not be so hard. Now, don't get me wrong. Will we have trials? Will we have persecutions? Of all kinds, we will. Jesus guaranteed us we would. So I'm not saying life is easy when you walk with the Spirit. But what I am saying is we have the power to get that firewood up to the truck, up the hill, and we experience that abundant life in the midst of those trials with the Holy Spirit. So what we're looking at is what is the difference this morning in being filled. We're going to look at some terms. Okay, want to clarify again here. Receiving the Holy Spirit. Anything I say this morning, I'm saying to you right now, so listen. I believe that you receive the Holy Spirit when you receive Jesus Christ, when you put your faith in Him and you're saved. You are given the Holy Spirit. I've spent lots of time on this before, so we're going to real quickly run through two verses. Okay, Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Isn't that cool? We think of the Holy Spirit being poured on us. But these streams of living water with the Holy Spirit in us are coming from within us. Why would you have living water flowing out of you? What's the point of that? Might that be for other people? It's living water. You're just pouring it out on the ground for no reason? That's a waste. But this living water, so the Holy Spirit, and we're going to see all these scriptures this morning. The Holy Spirit comes. That was the whole point of us having this foundation of love. The power of the Holy Spirit, the manifestations of the Spirit, the gifts, all these things that we kind of shy away from sometimes are actually to bring this living water to the people sitting right next to you in this room and the people in your families, the people at your workplace, in this city, wherever you go. Okay? But he said, believe, and you will be filled. So here to the Ephesians, in Ephesus, Paul is saying, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Okay, this is being marked with him. Having being believed, you were marked with him, in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Okay, we talked about all this stuff. I got to review this really quick because there's way more that I want to cover this morning than I have time for. But hear me say that, okay? Because you're going to hear me say some other things this morning, and you might go, wait a minute, does Jeff believe that? Yes, I believe that you have the Holy Spirit, and you're marked in him with that seal. Okay? But there's some other things that happen throughout your Christian life that are very clear in Scripture. And for some of us, and I'm guilty of it at times, it's easier to just, easier, it seems easier, but it's actually the wheelbarrow with the rusty axle, to just ignore these things. Let's talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, ooh, do we have to, Jeff? Let's just do a cute little series on the Holy Spirit and not touch on this stuff because there's some tension in the room because people believe different things about them. Well, Jeff, that baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's you just described it. That's when you get the seal. If you believe, you get the Holy Spirit. You're done. Move forward with your life, with God. Don't touch it again. Or others who are like, oh, baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's 14 steps. to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and here are the signs that you will get. And if you don't get the signs, it hasn't happened yet, so you better pray until you're blue in the face to get the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So there's all these different places and everything in between. So let's just look at Scripture. Okay, we're going to look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at being filled with the Holy Spirit and see what we can discover from the Word of God. Okay, the people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts. This is when John the Baptist was baptizing. And they were wondering if John might possibly be the Christ. So here's this guy baptizing people for repentance, and he's preparing the way for Jesus to come. John answered them all, "I baptize you." So John says for himself, "With water I baptized you, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Okay, so that's established. Jesus is going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. Baptize is this word. There's no other English word for it, so it's transliterated. It's a Greek word, baptismo, and means to immerse or to sprinkle. The giving of the Spirit before Pentecost. Okay, so is this baptism that Jesus is giving us, is that when you believe? You know, we just kind of read that if you believe, he's going to give the Holy Spirit and springs of living water are going to come from you. That's the tension that some of you have right now as I'm talking. And then we get this interesting verse here. Well, there's this short period of time that Jesus has risen from the dead. Okay, he's been crucified. He's died, buried. He's risen from the dead, and for these number of days, he's appearing to his disciples. And he has this interesting verse here where it says, "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" Whoa, that probably freaked him out. "After he said this, he showed them his hands inside. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said," so this is during this time before his ascension, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So if we look back, he had not yet given the Holy Spirit before he was glorified. Now he's breathing on his disciples and saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Boom, baptized, right? Disciples are baptized right there. They received the Holy Spirit. Well, it doesn't seem to be the case as we keep reading, because Luke, who's recalling, so Luke wrote Acts, and he's recalling some of the events that happened during this time period before Jesus' ascension, and he's writing to Theophilus. He says, "I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach." He's talking about the Gospel of Luke. "Until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen." So he gave some instructions to them. Well, what did he tell his apostles? "After his suffering, he showed himself to these men," we just read about that, "and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" Okay, so he's speaking ahead to this event called Pentecost, which is a Jewish feast, actually, originally. Still is a Jewish feast. And saying, this baptism is coming. So he breathed on them and gave them the Holy Spirit. And yet he's talking about this future event of baptism. So there's something special about this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, our scientific brains in this Western world are trying to wrap our heads around, but you have the Holy Spirit. Why are you being baptized in the, and why do you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit when you already have the seal of the Holy Spirit? And we're trying to visualize in our heads, we want to see some kind of chart or something that shows how this is possible. But we're given the Word of God to wrestle with here. Okay? So when they met together, they asked him, this is at his ascension now. They met together, Jesus is about to ascend into the clouds. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? I know I'm just hitting you with a bunch of scripture. You guys can go home and dig into these more. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Okay, he's talking about the future event. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Okay, so you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. When the day of Pentecost came, okay, so this is, let's not go there quite yet. So now they're all gathered together. So they've gotten this instruction from Jesus. Okay, these guys walked with Jesus for 3 years or so in fellowship and disciples. Do you think Jesus could have equipped them in those 3 years, Jesus, who walks on water, to be disciple makers and go out and make disciples of all nations? I would think he'd do a fantastic job of that. But he says, no, don't go. Don't go yet. You have got to be clothed with power from the Holy Spirit. I mean, Jesus at his baptism says the Holy Spirit came down on him and empowered him. And boom, he's out in the wilderness taking on Satan. He's coming back healing people, raising the dead. I mean, Jesus waited for the Holy Spirit's power. I think he's giving us an example for our lives. I think we'd be pretty prideful to say, that's great for the apostles who walked with Jesus for 3 years, or Jesus Christ himself. But me, I'm sealed. I'm good. I'm going to go do it. I'm going to go do the work. I'm going to go do the mission. No, Jesus is saying, wait, okay? Do not go out and make disciples. Stay in Jerusalem until you're clothed with power. And then he clothes them. When the day of Pentecost came, okay, pause, stop reading ahead. I know it's hard. Down here, Pentecost, Shavuot, sorry, I'm not good with my pronunciations. It's this Feast of Weeks or Feast of First Fruits. And so this kind of started just when they came into the Promised Land. They had this feast. There are three feasts, like the most important ones that God gave to the Jews. And this is one of the three. And they'd bring their first fruits to the altar and they'd lay them down and they'd declare, God Almighty brought us into the Promised Land. And it's this declaration of his goodness and his faithfulness to his word. And they present their first fruits. Okay, so that's the celebration that's going on at Pentecost. So when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. They're waiting for the Holy Spirit. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Tongues, languages. They're speaking in other languages, and that's where people, because of this festival, this feast, there are people from all over the place with different languages coming to Jerusalem to celebrate. And they're hearing these men speaking out, all those disciples who were there, speaking out in different languages. But they were their own languages. And they're like, how do these people are not from my home country. And they're praising God in these different languages. So we see that there's this baptism that came for the disciples. And there's some things we can do with that. We can say, well, yes, there's this baptism of the Holy Spirit for the apostles. You know, but we have plenty of evidence. I don't even know if we have time to go through all these this morning, but examples of baptism of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. So there's this guy named Cornelius, okay? Maybe I'll just kind of explain this story a little bit. But the Holy Spirit, and through an angel, comes to Cornelius and says, you got to meet up with this guy, Peter. He's got the words of life. You got to hear from him. And the Holy Spirit's speaking to Peter and giving him visions and getting him ready and getting him in the right place. And then he brings them both to cross paths. And here's Peter talking to Cornelius. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. So Cornelius and his friends and family are there. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. How did they know? For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. So in this instance, there's this sign. Okay, is it the sign? We'll get there. But there's this sign. There's this thing that they see happening that they saw happen to them in Pentecost. And they're like, these are Gentiles. These aren't Jews. And they're being baptized in the Holy Spirit like we were. Peter goes back to Jerusalem, okay? And he's explaining this. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them. So he's telling this to all the Jewish Christians. And the Holy Spirit came on them. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God? This is for everyone who will believe. This gift, this baptism. Okay, this gift. Oh, yeah, but he's talking about this gift. That's salvation. Absolutely. But it's also, as we just read, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the empowering. It's for everyone. You need it. Every believer needs to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If Paul needed it, if Peter needed it, if Jesus needed it for his ministry, then we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Paul has this interesting encounter. I just throw this in here to confuse you. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. So here's Paul coming into Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Okay, so Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Boom. Now they're seeing the same signs there, that they've received the Holy Spirit. But there's this filling, there's this these things that are coming out of them, prophecies, tongues, that they see and that they witness. So that brings us to kind of this, for me, it's kind of confusing. It's like, but is that being filled with the Holy Spirit? Is that receiving the Holy Spirit? What is this baptism of the Holy Spirit? And I've studied the word. I've interviewed people from different denominations who have very clear views on what that means on different sides. One of the things I picked up from a lot of those people I talked to is they're kind of confused themselves as to exactly how it works. And that doesn't surprise me because we're talking about God. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, and there's people going, I think I can figure him out. Every little detail about him, I'm going to pin him down and figure out how he works and stick him in my little box and take him everywhere I go. And it's not going to happen. Okay? Because there's this other term, filled with the Holy Spirit. Is that different than baptism? I don't know. Come talk to me if you know. I've talked to lots of people who feel like they knew. And in their explanations, I was still left with some doubts. There's some certainties that I've found in digging into the Word on this and in walking with God through the years. And that is, we are called to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we are called to be filled. And the filling is not one time, okay? That's where it took me a long time to be able to swallow that was, I thought that meant you have the Holy Spirit, but then he kind of dissipates and he's gone, you know? It's kind of like putting perfume or cologne on or something, you know, and you got to put some more on. And he's, you know, being filled is like this, him pouring back into you. Oh, you're empty again. You don't have the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled. Now, when I came to understand, you have always had the Holy Spirit. But does he always have all of you? Does he always have all of you? No. From one minute to the next, he doesn't. That's how often I feel like I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Every time I get out of a place where he doesn't have all of me. If he doesn't have all of you, you've got room to be filled. You're not up brimming over and pouring out with living water completely. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit that we need to press into. So There's these instances of being filled. I don't know how I'm going to fit all this in time, Susan. Okay, Lord, help us. Give us patience. Bless the children's workers. So Ephesians 5, be very careful then how you live. I talked about this a few weeks ago a little bit. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. So Paul preaching to, teaching to the church in Ephesus, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Why the NIV and all these other translations use that word, do you use that in your normal life? Excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures, we'll say that's what that means. Okay, that's what drunkenness leads to. Instead, be filled, doesn't say be drunk, says instead be filled with the Holy Spirit continually, presently. So in that original language, this is a present tense word, be filled. Okay, he's speaking to a church that's been filled, that has received the Holy Spirit, that is acting in the gifts of the Spirit, but he's saying be filled. It's a continual command. Keep on being filled. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Okay, the Holy Spirit's going to have to take over before that happens. When was the last time you spoke to somebody in a psalm, hymn, or spiritual song? Okay? But if the Holy Spirit is doing that, it's going to be beautiful, even if you can't sing. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the big control thing that Paul's getting to here. You are controlled by what you consume, or by what consumes you. And so the Holy Spirit consuming you is going to control you. You know, one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. That's kind of confusing a little bit, because we're to give over control to the Holy Spirit. But there is this self-control, even when next week we're talking about prophecy, New Testament gift of the Spirit. Week after that, we're going to talk about tongues. Okay, we're not going to hit all the gifts, but we're going to talk about some of the ones that get a little more confusing. But our effort in this is to live a life beyond this series, being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we'll talk about those things. But in Paul's instruction, we'll unpack this later, he says, don't give a tongue to the congregation. Don't direct your tongue to the congregation unless there's an interpreter. Okay, so there must be a way to know if there's an interpreter. And there must be a way to control your tongue if there isn't one. There's still control and order in the service. He said a prophet is going to need to be tested by other prophets, and they should speak in turn. That means a prophet could control himself and stop prophesying if another starts. And one can control himself when he starts. So there's control of the Holy Spirit, but there's still the self-control and order and love in how those gifts are being used and how the Holy Spirit is working in those. But more on that as we move forward. Okay, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, we won't read all this. Basically, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, so being filled with the Spirit, he spoke with courage. So here we start to see some other signs. And there are places where the apostles said they were filled with the Holy Spirit, but they didn't specifically say they spoke in tongues. There's many places where they say they did, or prophesied, or praised God. Okay, so I'm not in that place that says the sign of being baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit is that you speak in tongues or that you prophesy. I think that those can be signs that you're filled with the Spirit. Okay? We have no instruction in Scripture to lay aside the gifts of the Spirit. We have the opposite, to not forbid them. So that's where I stand with that at this point. And I see Scripture pretty clear on that. That I'm not going to go around and say, you're not filled with the Spirit because you don't speak in tongues. Okay, there's lots of other evidences of being filled with the Spirit. The people after Peter and John were released were praising God. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Okay, so we don't have every instance of them being filled with this description of speaking. Did some of those people speak in tongues? Maybe. But it's not described to us, and I think it's a big step to go to this place then of saying that every time or when you're baptized, you have to manifest this gift, which creates pressure, pride rises up, inferiority people start to struggle with, and see how we're getting away from this foundation of love, and we're like, wait a minute, the first fruit of the Spirit is love. So my encouragement to you this morning is, wherever you're coming from in these things, be willing to, like, I don't know where you're at with this. I don't know what's challenging about baptism and being filled and asking the Holy Spirit to fill you and what hang-ups you have with that. But I'm asking you to open your heart up to God and be willing to approach him in that. I need like 3 hours to do the rest of this. I'm like surprised at how the time has flown. So how do I be baptized filled with the Holy Spirit? Okay, I did baptized / filled because I'm just not there where I feel like baptism is once. I think the word, we get hung up on that. We get hung up on that word baptized, and it's like, I was baptized and I'm done with that, and now I'm moving on to filled. Maybe, but I know that there's a baptism that's offered to us and critical to our walk with God and living out what he's called us to. We've got to be empowered. We've got to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and it comes through the baptism, but it comes through the filling as well. Okay, remember I said at the beginning, I believe you have the Holy Spirit when you put your faith in Christ. But Peter, when that happened, Pentecost happened, everyone's like, how do we be saved? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You can't skip that step, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. So none of this business about these gifts and this baptism and this filling was just for the apostles to authenticate the church. It's just not true for all who are far off. God is continuing to authenticate his church through the Holy Spirit. And that's the living water. If you're feeling a little dry, like, wow, I don't know that I'm making disciples of all nations in some way or another, the Holy Spirit wants to come and empower you to do that in ways that you can't just do with your own smarts or your own determination. Okay? So, Kobe, if you want to come up here, we're going to end with a song that is a prayer. And my encouragement is, okay, this isn't like, hey, we're going to have this worship service and everyone's going to be baptized in the Spirit and filled and then we're going to move on to the next thing. My encouragement is a posture. Like, that's my prayer all the time, the last month or two. Just moving into it more and more. Holy Spirit, fill me. Empower me in new levels. From within, I already got you, Holy Spirit. Fill me to overflowing with these streams of living water. That's my prayer for us as a church. And simply put, Jesus tells us how to do it. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So again, one of the hang-ups that we have with that is we read that give. And we're like, the give, Jeff, I already have the Holy Spirit. But there's so many examples in Scripture that God is still giving and giving and giving and giving. He's giving you power from the Holy Spirit. He's giving gifts. He's giving you the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So don't see it anymore as, I can't pray that prayer because I already have the Holy Spirit. You have to be able to lay that down and open your heart up and say, I'm willing to receive more of what I already have, and I need more of what I already have to be able to do what God's calling me to do. There's places in my life that I want to see sin destroyed. I want to overcome. There's people in my life that I just feel like I can't break through to them. But the Holy Spirit can. So it's giving all of yourself to the Holy Spirit. Here's a question for you. Are you willing to ask God to baptize you with his Spirit? or to fill you afresh. You might not get to a place where you're willing to do that this morning. That might be, we're cruising way too fast here for you. But are you willing to start moving towards that? Have you even given that a thought? Or have you just packed that away in the theology of, yeah, I just don't think I need to do that. I got the Holy Spirit when I received him. But I've challenged you with some verses this morning just to kind of tip of the iceberg, dig into them. If you can get there this morning, we're just going to spend some time. We're going a little later. If you think your kid is like freaking out downstairs, you can go down and grab them, but don't leave if you feel like you're ready to do something here with God. It's okay. They'll be all right. My wife's down there. I'll deal with it later. Okay? Is there space in your heart for him to do that? Okay, so this song, the words of this song could actually be that prayer of moving you in that direction of openness. So don't just sing this song. If you're not there, don't sing it. If you want to be there, if you are there, sing out these words to God. Maybe it's time to pray to God about this. Maybe you want to come up. I'll be up front here, and you want someone to pray over you for some breakthrough in this. I'd be willing to do that. And if more than one person comes up, I'm sure there's some others who can come up and pray over people too. But I encourage you, move from where you're at. Even if you're way ahead of me already, there's still more that you can move into giving yourself over to the Holy Spirit.